Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Sarah. Turn your Bibles again, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, of course, as you heard every Sunday, this is Missions Month. In fact, this is the culmination of the month. Every March of the year, we focus on the heartbeat of God, the Great Commission, where God tells us to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's been our focus this month. We've had two new missionaries come to present their work. We had three of our existing missionaries, ones that we already support, give an update of their work. And today is the last Sunday of this month. And it's what we call the Faith Promise Sunday. Last Sunday in your bulletin, you received a Faith Promise card. That's that little card like this. We'll be taking those up at the end of the service. That allows you to communicate to this church what part financially you'd like to have in our outreach and with missions as a church. But this morning I'd like to talk about, what is Faith Promise? We're going to fill out a card later on, Faith Promise Commitment. What is Faith Promise? And I'd like to help you understand what this is when you decide to give to missions in First Baptist Church. And so I'd like to look at, first of all, five important truths about faith promise giving. But before we get into our text, let me give you a background of what Paul was doing here in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. What he was saying here, in fact, prior to this writing this book, there was a great dearth, a great drought in a certain area of the land. And many of the churches the Apostle Paul established were affected by that drought. They were hurting financially and were going without food. So the church at Jerusalem sent the Apostle Paul to the churches that were not affected by the drought, more affluent churches, and asked them if they'd give money to help the churches in need. And one church that responded in a very positive way was the church of Corinth. They were very affluent, they were very wealthy, and said, count us in, we'd love to have part in this. So as time went on, Paul sent someone over to them to take up a collection, and they kind of backed down. They were withdrawing from their commitment to have part in this support of the churches that were hurting. So Paul wrote this chapter today to encourage them to follow through with their commitment. He used churches that were suffering financially and going through persecution, yet they begged Paul to have part in the ministry. And so look, if you would please, look again in chapter 8, look with me in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians. Paul said, moreover, brethren, notice who he's speaking to here. He's speaking to Christians. We do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, here it talks about grace. Grace and salvation means God's unmerited, undeserved favor. But grace in the Christian life refers to divine enablement. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. We know he had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed three times, God remove. And God says, no, my grace will be sufficient for you. So in this case, it's God's divine enablement. These Christians were able to do something that seemed unusual, unreal for them because of God's grace. The churches of Macedonia. Now look in verse 2. Notice their situation they gave out of. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto their riches of liberality. And that's a mouthful, isn't it? What he's saying here, these Christians in Macedonia that were not affected by the drought, yet were still having difficult times. He used two words to describe the situation. He said they were in a trial of affliction. They were suffering persecution for their faith. And not just trial, but great trial of affliction. But also they were in poverty. And not just poverty, deep poverty. So these Christians that Paul was using to motivate the believers in Corinth to give were Christians that were suffering persecution and were in deep poverty, yet in the midst of all that, they gave liberally and with great joy. He said, that doesn't seem to go together. People was persecuted and as far as deep poverty, yet they had great joy and they wanted to give to others. You don't see that very often. My friend, that was called grace. God gave them ability to do something that seemed unusual. In fact, look what it says in verse 3. For to their power, it means to their ability, I bear record. And beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. And verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Wow. These people were suffering persecution and deep poverty, gave with great joy and gave liberally. In fact, Paul did not go to them, ask them to have part in this giving, because he saw their need. They had need themselves. Yet they begged Paul, please, Paul, let us have part in giving to these people in need. Wow, what a contrast. Now, what enabled them to do all this? Read the next verse. Verse 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Now, first of all, let me tell you what faith promise giving is. Faith promise giving is priority giving. Faith promise giving is priority giving. What do you mean by that? Many of you have priorities. You have a list of things that are important to you. When it comes to giving, we should have priorities. I'm going to give you three of them in the list order of importance of when we give as Christians to the Lord. The first thing, as a believer, listen please, as a believer, if you know Christ as Savior, the first thing you should give to the Lord is yourself, to give yourself. I give myself to God. And notice here, these believers were able to give of their finances, even though they were in deep poverty, because it says in verse 5, but first priority, gave themselves. Listen, please. This is not talking about salvation. Salvation is not obtained by giving God anything. Salvation is obtained by receiving. You don't give God your heart. You don't give him your pocketbook. You don't give him your life to be saved. You receive the life that Christ gave for you on the cross. That brings salvation. But once you're saved, of all the giving, number one, the first thing you should give to God is yourself. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, many of you know the verse. It'll be on the screen. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So here the Apostle Paul is calling upon the church of Rome, these believers. He says, I beseech you. The word beseech means to implore, to beg, to strongly urge you. And he goes on to say, therefore, brethren, he says, by the mercies of God. Basically, before he called upon them to give their lives to God, he says, you should do this as a response to what he did for you. Mercy. How many of you are grateful for God's mercy? His grace. I'm so grateful. And that mercy and grace was best displayed at the cross. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, shed his precious blood, he died there for you, in your place to pay your sin debt. Out of mercy and grace, he did that for you. So Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies, in view of what Christ has done for you, he goes on to say, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What is he saying here? Now that you're saved, come back to the Lord. Lord, I'm so glad you saved me. I'm so glad I'm forgiven. Heaven's my home. I want to live my life for you. That's the first gift you ought to give the Lord once you're saved. Give yourself. Have you done that before? Has there been a time in your life that you're not saved, you come back to God and say, Lord, I want to live for you. I want to honor you. I want to give myself to be what kind of sacrifice? Living. He doesn't want you to die for him. He wants you to live for him. A life that's holy, acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. This is not talking about salvation. It's an active service, one who is saved. So this priority of giving, the first thing you should give once you're saved is yourself. That's what enabled these believers to give so much in the deep poverty, because they first gave themselves. Number two, the second in your list of priorities of giving. Second, I give the first part of my income to God. I give the first part of my income to God. In Proverbs 3, verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase. Here we're told by God that we are to honor him with our substance. Substance means your material possession, including your finances. We are to honor God with our finances. How do we do that? He goes on to say, and with the first fruits of all thy increase. He was speaking to men that were farmers. And when they went out to harvest the crop, the first pickings went to God. Before they sold any of it, kept any for themselves, they first gave God the part. That's how they honored God. And I believe the way we do that is by giving God the first part of our income. My wife and I, when we get our paycheck, one of the first things we do, we set apart our tithe. We set that apart. That doesn't belong to us. It belongs to God. We give God his part. Then we use it to pay our bills. Then we use it to meet our needs. But we give God the first part. And God says, honor him with your substance and with the first fruits of all the increase. So in our priority of giving, we first give ourselves. Number two, we give the tithe. We give the part of our income that belongs to God. We give it him first. Number three, the third part list in your priority giving is I give my offering to missions to God. I give my offering for missions to God. Now, the first one, giving ourselves, was a responding gift. I respond to God because I respond to him because he first gave himself for me. The second one, the giving of a part of income, is an obligatory gift. It means obligation to honor him with our income. But this third one I call a love gift. A love gift. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8, please. Again, Paul is speaking to these believers about following through with their what they said they would do to help out these churches in need. And he says here in verse 8, I speak not by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others, speaking of the church of Macedonia, and to prove what? The sincerity of your love. By the way, do you love the Lord? How can we show that? By giving. By the way, how do we know God loves us? For God so loved the world that he gave. So someone said this, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Can I say that again? You can love without giving, but you cannot love. You can give without loving. I'll see if you pay attention. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And so Paul said this. These Christians, he said, I'm telling you this to give to missions, not commandment. I'm not commanding you to. You're not obligated to. You do it because you love the Lord. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. We give to him. Why? Because he first gave to us. So look up here, please. Faith promise giving is priority giving. It is first giving ourselves to the Lord. Second is giving a part of our income to the Lord, the tithe. And third, over and above the tithe, we give to missions. We do that because we love the Lord. Number two, faith promise is priority giving. Number two, faith promise is proportional giving. Faith promise is proportional giving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, look in verse 12, please. Verse 12. He said, for if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. What he's saying here is this. You cannot give what you do not have, but you are to give according to that what you do have. That makes sense? You cannot give what you do not have, but you are to give according to that what you do have. In Acts 11:29, those who gave to this need of the churches that were suffering because of the drought, verse 29 said, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. And 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, Paul said, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has what? Prospered him. Look away, please. Some of you can give more than others because God's prospered you more than others. Some of us can't not give as much to others because God has not prospered as much. But the Bible said you ought to give according to what you have. And so that's what we should do. But however, remember this. We must remember God blesses sacrificial giving. God blesses sacrificial giving. If you would please turn to me now to Mark chapter 12. Keep your finger in Corinthians. We're coming right back to this. Mark 12, page 1418, if you're using a church Bible. Mark chapter 12. Here we have an example of sacrificial giving. You ever heard the widow who gave the widow's mite? The Lord used this to teach his disciples a great truth about giving. Mark chapter 12, look in verse 41, please. Mark 12, 41. It says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. What it's saying here, as you enter the courtyard of the temple, the first part was called the women's courtyard. And as they walked in, usually they saw against the wall big lecterns or big barrels they could toss money in. And they tossed in love offerings there. So Jesus was in there sitting to the side watching people as they gave. Interesting. The Lord watches us when we give. And they notice here, he said, many that were rich were casting in much. But read on. He said in verse 42, and there came a certain poor widow that threw in two mites, which make a farthing. Now, mite was the smallest denomination of the Roman money. It was a very thin copper coin. It made up about 1/8 of a cent. Now, today, our smallest one is a penny. The mite here made up about 8 of those, made up 1 penny. So he said, listen, his rich people, they cast in a whole bunch. This poor lady only cast in two mites. Read on. Now he teaches his disciples the truth. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which cast into the treasury. Now you begin to think that, can't Jesus count? He saw the rich people cast in much, and this poor widow cast in two mites. Yet he says she cast in more than all they did. Why? The reason why is she gave more, not numerically, but proportionately, that what she had. In fact, read the next verse, verse 44. For all they did cast in out of their abundance, but she out of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Look at me, please. The rich people gave the leftovers. After they met their needs, met their wants, what was left over, out of their abundance, they gave to God. Though it was a bunch. Yet she didn't give her leftovers. She gave all she had. Hers was sacrificial giving. And Jesus said because of that, she gave more than all they did. So basically what he's saying here is this. It's not a sacrifice to give out of your abundance. But it is when you give out of your necessity. It's not a sacrifice to give out of your leftovers. But it is a sacrifice when you give out of necessity. When it comes to giving to missions, it should not be equal giving, but equal sacrifice. That's what he's saying here. Number three. What is faith promise giving? It is priority giving, proportional giving. Number three, faith promise is profitable giving. Faith promise is profitable giving. First of all, you said, Pastor, what profit do I get when I give to mission? What do I gain when I give to mission? I'm glad you asked. First of all, you gain God's blessings. You gain God's blessings. And before any further, please listen. If you're visiting with us today, and I'm hearing the pastor talk about money, this is the culmination of a missions month. I've been speaking on missions all the month of March. And this is the last Sunday where our people of the Church of First Baptist comes together and communicates what part they have financially toward missions. So if you're visiting with us, this is not for you. Unless you want to give, that's fine. But I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the church. Make sense to you? People come and say, first time I come to church, the pastor talks about giving. I rarely talk about giving, but I do at the conclusion of our mission month because we give to missions so we can support missionaries to reach our world for Christ. So basically, faith promise number three is profitable giving because you gain God's blessing. Now look in chapter 9, 2 Corinthians 9, please. Chapter 9 just carries on from chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Hopefully he held your finger there. He's still speaking to the Corinthian church about giving to missions. And notice what he said in verse 6, chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. In other words, what this means, if you give a little, you reap a little. You give a lot, you reap a lot. One's investment determines one's return. So the more I give to missions, the more blessings I receive from God. Acts 20:35 says this. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than receive. Do you believe that? I don't know about you, I like receiving. I enjoy Christmas time. I enjoy birthdays, see a big gift with my name on it. I enjoy that. But the Bible said it is more blessed, greater blessings to give than receive. Because blessings of God come with that. Many of you can say amen. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Because you love receiving, but you never receive the blessings of God by giving. Interesting. Someone said this. When you shovel it out, God shovels it back. But remember, God has a bigger shovel than you do. Isn't that great? When you shovel out money to God, he'll shovel it back, but he has a bigger shovel than you. So you gain God's blessing. Number two, the second profit comes from giving to missions, is you gain God's rewards. You don't only gain his blessings, you gain God's rewards. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul's addressing the church of Philippi because they were the only church at that time that supported him as a missionary. And he talks about the giving. And notice what he said, and we talk about giving, Philippians 4:17, I believe it'll be on the screen. He said, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. When you lead a person to Christ, there is that soul is laid up to your account in heaven, and God will reward you when you get there. Look up here, please. Look at see all the flags on each side? Each of those flags represent the country of a missionary which we support. As you give to missions, First Baptist Church, every soul that a missionary wins to Christ, that soul is applied to your account. God sees you as the one who led that person to Christ because you have financially enabled a missionary to do that. Paul said, it's not that I desire a gift, but I desire that fruit may abound to your account. Every soul that Paul led to Christ was given to the account to the Philippian church because they supported him. Wow. When you go to heaven, you're going to see scores of people saved through our missionaries, and they'll come to you and say, thank you for giving because of that. I'm in heaven today. Those souls are applied to your account, and God will reward you greatly. So faith promise giving is profitable giving. It profits God's blessing and profits his rewards. Number four. Faith promise giving is priority giving, proportional giving, profitable giving, and number four, it is purposeful giving. Purposeful giving. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. We saw verse 6, now verse 7. It says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. The word purposeful means this, to decide to determine ahead of time. Can I give you a testimony to my shame? When I'm early 20s, when I went off to work for the telephone company, I knew as important I should give a portion of my money to God. I was raised in a Christian home. I was raised partly in the church. I knew I should give honor God with my substance. But you know what I did? I gave God my leftovers. When I got my paycheck, I set aside part for what I wanted, part to pay my bills. Anything left over, I gave to God. And I call it, it was a wait and see. When the plate was passed, pull out my wallet, anything left in there, I give it to God. But the Bible says faith promise giving is purposeful giving. You don't wait and see if you got anything left. You purpose ahead of time to give. That's true of tithing. The first thing we do, we set aside the tithe to God. We purpose that ahead of time. Also, after we give our tithe, we give to faith promise. We purpose do that before we do anything else. It is purposeful giving. It said, let every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give. If you wait until you have something left over, chances are you won't give at all. So you purpose ahead of time. But notice there's three kinds of giving here. Did you see that in the verse? First of all, so let him give not grudgingly. What does that mean to give grudgingly? It has the idea of giving because it's something I should do. But like in a sense, it's giving out a sense of duty, obligation, not out of joy. It's something I should do. Then he says, not grudgingly or necessity. Necessity means giving because you feel like you have to. Grudgingly, something I should do. Necessity, because I have to. But it goes on to say, but God loves what kind of giver? Cheerful giver. That gives because I want to. I want to do that because what he's done for me. it speaks of that. It speaks of one who enthusiastically thrilled with the pleasure and joy of giving. So what I'm saying is this. Of Faith Promise Month, we focus on missions, have missionaries come. The one Sunday that ought to thrill your soul, you can't wait to get here, is the Faith Promise Sunday, when we give towards missions. Not because we have to, not because the chorister, because I want to. I want to give to that because someone gave that I might get saved. We might do the same. So cheerful giving is giving not because I have to or something I should do, because I want to. Notice this. God values not the amount of a gift, but the attitude of the giver. God sees that. The attitude of the giver. Number four. Well, I'm wrapping it up here. Number four. So what is faith promise giving? First of all, it's priority giving, proportional giving, profitable giving, purposeful giving, and lastly, I like this one most of all, it is promissory giving. Promissory giving. Giving based upon a promise. We give based upon a promise. First of all, first, it is based upon a promise God has made to us. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's read verse 7 again, and then we'll go to verse 8. Verse 8 is a promise God makes to those who give. Verse 7, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves the cheerful giver. Now verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, the same grace he gave the church of Macedonia, he'll give to you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Look up here, please. You know what God's saying here? When you, as a believer, give to missions, God says, I'll see to it that your needs are met. Think about that. In the economy we have, we are scared to give. We need to, sometimes we hoard it because I don't know, I have enough. God says, you take care of my missionaries, I'll take care of you. That's what he's saying. When we give, it says you are always have all sufficiency, all you need. Now, he didn't say and meet your wants. He said, I'll meet your needs, your sufficiency. Wow. In an economy like this, when things are tight, you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. If you got a job or what the president's going to do with our money, you don't know. Well, I have any money. God says this, Christian, you purpose to give, and God says all grace abound to you, that you will always have all sufficiency in all things. Wow. A verse many of you are familiar with. Back in Philippians 4:19, when Paul again speaks to the church of Philippi about giving, he concludes in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's a promise made to those, look up here please, those who give. Now we say, God will meet all my needs. But the context, when you give to missions, God said, I'll see to it, your needs are met. Wow, what a promise. In the midst of our economy, that God promised me my needs will be met. All I have to do is give to missions. It is promissory giving. First, it's based upon a promise God makes to us. Second, faith promise is based upon a promise we make to God. It's based upon a promise we make to God. It is promising God to give what he's laid on your heart, believing that he will supply the money. Last Sunday, in your bulletin, there was a faith promise card, and I asked you to take that home and pray about that. And so today, what we're going to do is we're going to take these up in a few moments. And basically, it's a promise you make to God that whatever he laid on your heart to give, you are to give that, believing that he'll meet the need. He laid a amount on your heart. Basically, it's promising God to give what he's laid on your heart, believing that he will supply the money. That's what he would do. Now, listen carefully, please. As your pastor, I never want anyone to ever misunderstand something about salvation. We're not talking about salvation this morning. We're talking about the Christian life. So listen, please. Faith promise. Salvation is not faith promise giving. It's faith promise receiving. What do you mean, Pastor? Salvation, in other words, by faith, we receive the gift of eternal life based upon the promise God makes to you. The verse on the screen, I believe, there, John 6:47. Look at that verse. It says, verily, verily. You know what that word means? Truly, or truthfully, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. What's Jesus saying here? What he's saying here, as a person, as a sinner. By the way, how many of us are sinners? All of us. Me too. We all have sinned. And because we've sinned, there's a penalty. There's a price tag. The wages of sin is death. Because I'm a sinner, I owe a penalty to God for my sin. And to pay that penalty, I have to die and go to hell to do it. But God loves me in spite of my sin. And you know what he did? He provided a substitute. He provided his son. He sent his son to pay the penalty for me, for you. He died for you, paid for your sin, was buried and rose again. And the Bible said if you would believe when he did that for you, and trust him as your Savior, you would not perish but have what? Everlasting. That's a promise. He that believeth on me hath, it means possesses right now, everlasting life. As a Christian, eternal life is not something you're going to get. It's something you already have. It's a present possession of all who believe. So salvation is not obtained by faith promise giving, but faith promise what? Receiving. But once you receive Christ, now God wants you to give yourself. So anyway, have you ever received Christ as your Savior? If not, I'll give you just a few moments to get an opportunity to do so. But if those of you that are members of our church, if you would go ahead and take your card out, please. Take the faith promise card out that you've received. If you did not get one, the ushers in the back will pass them out at this time. If you did not get one, would like to have one, hold your hand up high. They'll give that to you at this time. Now, these men are paid according to how many they hand out, so make sure you... If you did not receive one, go ahead and raise your hand. You'll get one. I'll explain this to you in just a moment. A lot of times when we, something like this, we get very nervous. Let me explain this to you. No, nothing to get nervous about. This is called faith promise commitment card. Basically, if you look at your card, please, what it says here. In dependence upon God, I purpose to give over and above my tithe to world evangelism through First Baptist Church. I understand that I will not be billed for this. My faith commitment is between me, myself, and God. In fact, do not put your name on it. We don't know whose it is. All we ask is you put your age down there. Then you put the amount of money you want to give. Now, this is a commitment for a one-year period that you give either weekly or monthly for the next year until March of 2024. And so you write that down there. What we'll do is take this up, and then as the deacons will add all these together, and we'll communicate to you how much money is given to missions through First Baptist Church. Now, it's my desire, please, I shared with you last week. My desire is we at least to get as much as we got last year. Why? To continue to support our existing missionaries. But if we get a little bit more than last year, we could take on the two new missionaries to add more people to our outreach. So as the piano plays, you write, fill out the card according to God laid in your heart. When it's done, we'll take this up, and then we'll be dismissed, okay? You pray about and write down what God's laid on your heart. If you fill those out, if you would, whatever comfortable, you can turn it in upside down or fold it. you would, go ahead and pass it to the center aisle, please. Pass your card to the center aisle. Ushers will pick those up. Let me say this on behalf of our missionaries. I say thank you. And I want to, what we'll do is we need to take a couple of weeks to give the report of how much come in, because more comes in as time goes on, to give you the final amount. But let me close with this, please. Again, thank you for coming this morning. If by chance you're here today, that you may not be certain heaven's your home. This morning I've been speaking to those who know Christ, those believers, those who have trusted Christ, about the idea of helping others to come to Christ through giving of their finances. But if you're here today and you're not certain heaven's your home, let me share quickly how you can know that. I shared a few minutes ago, the Bible says we're all sinners. We all, as sinners, we all owe a penalty. And you know what? We can't save ourselves. But what God did, God sent his son to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, to save us, forgive us, and give us eternal life. And no amount of giving on our part will obtain that. I'm going to heaven because he gave his life for me. And I received him as my Savior. Have you ever received Christ as your Savior? If you have, rejoice, heaven's your home. But if you haven't, why not do it today? Let's bow together, please. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if by chance you are here today and you have never personally received Jesus Christ to be your Savior, why not do it right now? It's not a promise on your part to do anything for him. It's you receiving a promise he made for you, that he would save you and give you eternal life if you would trust him. If you never have done that before and like to do it today, why not talk to God and tell him that? In the quietest of your mind, in your own thoughts, maybe just pray a prayer like this. Just say, "Dear God of heaven, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. And because I've sinned, I've earned, I deserve your punishment. But God, I believe your son Jesus was punished in my place. The judgment I deserve, he took upon himself. And there on the cross, bearing my sin and shame, he died for me. He was buried and he rose again. And right here today, realizing I cannot save myself, I'm trusting Christ to save me, to forgive me and give me eternal life. I'm trusting Christ as my only hope for heaven." As heads are bowed and eyes still closed, my friend, did you pray that prayer this morning? Did you trust Christ? If you did, I'd like to know that. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm not going to have you forward. I'm not going to point you out anyway. I'm going to do this with heads bowed and eyes closed. But if right here today, for the first time, you understood that and you trusted Christ to be your Savior, with no one looking around, no one leaving, would you just simply indicate that but raise your hand so I can pray for you? And we're all, "Pastor, here's my hand. I trusted Christ. Would you pray for me this morning?" And we're all this morning. Father in heaven, since no one raised your hand, I hope that means each one has already made that decision to trust Christ. And Father, as believers, we all need to realize it's our responsibility as Christians to help others understand the great news of what Christ has done for them, to be involved with missions some way and somehow, somewhere. So Father, I pray that you raise up many missionaries right here at First Baptist Church through this month. Father, we ask you to bless upon each one here today. In Christ's name we pray, amen.